Today on the Sunday edition of Renewing Your Mind.
The 12 called a meeting. We're told that the 12 summoned all of the rest of the disciples, all of the rest of the believers, summoned the whole church. And they said to them, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.
In the book of Acts, a dispute arose concerning the distribution of food to widows. In response, early church leaders established the office of deacon. We'll see how that played out today here on Renewing Your Mind. Dr. R.C. Sproul continues his verse-by-verse exposition in the book of Acts. We've been sharing this series every Sunday over the past several months, and we'll continue through the end of the book. It is a privilege for those of us who are members of St. Andrew's Chapel to sit under Dr. Sproul's preaching each week, and we're delighted to be able to share his sermons with you here on our program. He begins today by reading the biblical text.
We're going to continue with our study of the book of Acts this morning, looking at Acts chapter 6, reading verses 1 through 7. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And when the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. He who has ears to hear the word of God, let them hear. Last Sunday morning, I mentioned to the congregation that I would be gone this past week to California and asked you for your prayers, as it was a very heavy assignment for me. And I thought about giving a report to you of what transpired in California, but I've hesitated lest I be guilty of some kind of hubris. But I'm going to tell you, for this purpose, that we are told to boast not in ourselves, but in the Lord, and what the Lord did this past week was one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. And it relates to the text that I've just read. We traveled to California, to Los Angeles, to Grace Community Church, where the pastor is John MacArthur. And the occasion was the annual Shepherds Conference, a conference held for pastors. And to the best of my knowledge, this is the largest pastors' conference that is held in America. And it's one of the most exciting things a minister can do is to have fellowship with other pastors and to be able to be some encouragement to them. Well, we got out there on Wednesday, had some meetings, not at the church, and I started feeling sick on Wednesday, and I said to Vesta, now those people back there at St. Andrew's promised to pray for me when I go on these things, and I'm just not feeling very well, and in the middle of the night, that night, 1 o'clock, I woke up, my throat was on fire, and I'm rushing around trying to get some kind of painkillers in my throat. By morning, I've lost my voice completely. Before breakfast, the best I can do is whisper, and I'm supposed to speak to, you know, almost 4,000 pastors at 9 o'clock. And so we prayed, and I said, well, maybe if I get some hot tea and have some breakfast, that'll help with this malady, and we'll be able to make it. And then I got to the church, and I still didn't have a voice. And I was with John in his study, and I said, John, somebody doesn't want me to give this message this morning. I hope it's not the Lord. And he said, he agreed, and so we prayed, and we got the people back there in the sound booth to crank up the loudspeaker a little bit to help me with this hour message to all these pastors. And I made it through it. And John said to me afterwards, he said, R.C., that's the best message I've ever heard you give in my life. And I don't know whether he was just blowing smoke and trying to encourage me through all of this thing, but I'm telling you this because it really does indicate that our strength is made perfect in weakness. When we're brought to the place where the only strength we have is that which is given to us by the Lord, that's when we are most used. And I have to say, I got home last night and I said to my daughter, I said, this was the most difficult time of speaking I've ever experienced in my life. And yet at the same time, one of the most rewarding. On Friday night at our service there, I'll tell you this, that the Grace Community Church set their all-time record from the beginning of the foundation of that church to today in attendance. And I just couldn't get over that. And so we were sustained through this. Our doctors here, this thing then went into my chest with my normal bronchitis, and my doctor here sent me, called out there and got antibiotics going and everything. So we were able to finish and to be here today. Now, one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for the opportunity that I had in California is this. We live in a time in America where there is a famine of the Word of God in the land. And one of the most difficult things is to find pastors and preachers who will preach expository sermons, who will break forth the text of Scripture to their people, and not just simply give psychological advice or insights on contemporary events or other forms of public speaking, but that the pastors be ministers of the Word, because that's our mandate. And to understand that that's our mandate, let's go back here to this text that I just read. We're told now in the early days of the church, a number of the disciples was multiplying, and a complaint arose in the congregation of the first Christians between the Jewish Christians and the Hellenistic Jewish Christians. There were the Palestinian Jews, and they spoke Hebrew, and then there were the Greek-speaking Jews of the diaspora who had come back into Jerusalem. And now they had become part of the New Testament community. But now there's a division in the church between the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians and the Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians. And what was the debate about? It was about the distribution of the money and the distribution of the time and energy in the church with respect to the care of the widows. This was the first crisis that infected the first Christian community. The first internal dispute had to do with some of the folks feeling neglected because their widows were not being ministered to. You remember the teaching of James in the book of James, when he says the essence of true religion is this: the care of the widows and of the orphans. The first year I was in seminary, I had a student job at a church of about 1,000 members in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. They had a pictorial guide just like we have in this church. And as a young man in seminary, I wanted to do the best job I could, so I got that pictorial guide and I tried to memorize faces and names of everyone in the congregation. And then one morning, after church, there was this elderly woman who came to the back of the church, and I'd never seen her before. And I welcomed her and thanked her for being a guest and visitor at the First Presbyterian Church of Charleroi. And she looked at me and she said, "Young man, I'm a charter member of this church." Talk about the science of dentopedology, when one puts their foot in their mouth. That was it. But see, she wasn't able to be in church on a regular basis. She was frail, and she was a widow, and she was alone. Do you know what happens to widows when their husbands die? Everybody weeps with them, displays some compassion at first, but then their whole life changes, not simply because they've lost their life partner, but because the things that they always used to do with couples, they're now left out of. And they experience a kind of loneliness that none of us who are not widows or widowers can possibly understand. Last night, I went over by my television set, and there was a cassette movie there, and it had written on the side of it, "Florence, return to Mitch." Mitch loaned me this movie a few months ago. Said, "When you're finished with it, don't forget to return." I can't return it to Mitch because Mitch is gone. And he's left a lovely widow behind. But of course, Florence Cherkis is not the only widow or widower in our midst. Every church has its proportionate number of those who have lost their mates. And I can, just in a glance, see several of you out there in that category. This happened in the early church. And the widows and widowers both were being neglected. And so the 12 called a meeting. We're told that the 12 summoned all of the rest of the disciples, all of the rest of the believers, summoned the whole church. And they said to them, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Meaning, as the apostles who were given a particular mandate by Christ, they could not be involved in the daily care of the lives of the people. They could not take care of business, as it were. Because for them to be effective in the job to which they were called, they had to devote themselves to prayer and to the preaching of the Word of God. Now, that's not the way it is today in the church. Every year, 17,000 ministers in America leave the ministry. And one of the main reasons for that is that ministers are neither encouraged, nor equipped, nor able, nor allowed in the modern church to devote themselves to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Because now a minister is expected to be the CEO of a corporation. He's expected to do the administration. He's supposed to do the development work. And he's expected to be an expert in counseling and in pastoral care. And so we've raised up generations of pastors who are jacks of all trade and masters of none. And one of the reasons why they don't break the Word of God for the congregation on Sunday mornings, because they don't know how. They've spent their time learning everything else but the text. Now, it's not like the apostles said, look, here's what we're going to do. Forget about the orphans. Forget about the widows. Oh, no. Remember, this was after this that James says the essence of true religion is the care of the widows and of the orphans. You see what happens every Sunday morning when these little kids come in the door and sing the Sanctus? Some of you can't see it because this pulpit blocks your vision. But those of you over here, you see it, don't you? Isn't it incredible, these little ones, and how many of them were orphans in China or some other land and were brought to this country and adopted by the people of God in this church? That is one of the most beautiful things that you ever see in the life of the church, to see that kind of care. Now, the apostle said, oh no, I'm not saying don't worry about the orphans, don't worry about the widows. No. They said, we have to worry about the orphans, and we have to worry about the widows, and we have to worry about the administration of this church, and yet we have to fulfill our mandate of learning and teaching and preaching the Word of God. So they summoned the people together, and they said, we need to choose 7 men from among ourselves who are obviously men of great faith, men of great ability, men of great commitment, that they may be set aside and consecrated by the laying on of hands to give themselves to diakonia, service, to ministry, to the needs of the people in the church. And this is how the diaconate was founded. Now, the 7 are simply called the 7, but it's out of this group of the 7 that the whole institution of deacons was established in the early church. I'll never forget how it came to pass in my life to come to this church. 6 years or so ago, I was involved in 2 Bible studies, one with guys from the golf course over at Heathrow and another one in our house. And some folks were in both of those Bible studies, and they came to me one day, I'll never forget it, in my kitchen, and they said, R.C., how about starting a church and you be our pastor? And I laughed them to scorn. I said, hey, I have a day job. I can't do that. And so they accepted that. And next week they came back and they said, well, how about this? How about if we start a church and you just be our minister of preaching and teaching? That's all you do. I said, I don't know. And so Vesta and I talked about it. We prayed about it. And I said, you know, honey, every one of my heroes in church history who was a theologian, people like Augustine, people like Calvin, people like Luther, people like Edwards, in addition to their teaching of theology day after day after day, each one of those men had a pulpit where they preached every Sunday. And they had a congregation. And I said, that's what's missing from my life. And so I came back to them. I said, if you're really serious about this, if you'll let me devote my time to preaching and teaching, then let's go. And that's how St. Andrew's was established. But as we've grown, there are more and more tables to be served. There are more and more widows to be visited. More and more orphans to be taken care of. That's why we're about to double the size of the diaconate here at St. Andrew's, and why we've just added new members to the session. Because our session members take very seriously their task of pastoral care here at St. Andrew's. And the deacons, you know, you think about the deacons. When I come here for the early service and I pull in the parking lot, doesn't matter how early it is, there's already the deacons here. They've already worked to prepare the table of the Lord. They've worked to prepare the parking. They've worked to do all of those things for which in the ministry, ladies and gentlemen, there's absolutely no glamour. None whatsoever. Just service. But that's how the church is supposed to operate. And so I thank my God daily for the deacons of our church who are willing to give of themselves freely to these servant tasks and ministries of mercy that become increasingly more pressing in our midst. That's what the church is supposed to be. And they make it possible for me to study the text and to bring to you that which you need more than anything else, the Word of God.
Amen. In God's kindness, He not only established the church to equip the saints, but He also revealed how it should be organized. Thanks for listening to Renewing Your Mind on this Lord's Day. We're pleased to bring you Dr. R.C. Sproul's series from the Book of Acts each week. We're learning in our verse-by-verse study how God established the early church, which was founded on the bold teaching and preaching of the apostles. And we have that same task here in the 21st century. It's a task summed up in Jesus' great commission to go and make disciples. R.C. has written a helpful booklet that describes evangelism and missions and defines the gospel. For your gift of any amount today, we'll send you two copies of this booklet. It's titled, What is the Great Commission? Our number is 800-435-4343, or you can give your gift online at renewingyourmind.org. This booklet is part of Ligonier Ministries' Crucial Questions series, more than two dozen booklets by Dr. Sproul that help answer many common questions like, can I know God's will? Can I trust the Bible? And does prayer change things? Again, for your gift of any amount, we'll send you two copies of What is the Great Commission? Our phone number is 800-435-4343, and our web address is renewingyourmind.org. Well, I know that Dr. Sproul's teaching is helpful in so many ways. We want to remind you that everything we do here at Ligonier is done with an eye towards serving the local church. We don't want this program to replace your Lord's Day worship at your own local church. We read in Acts that the early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So it is our encouragement to you to commit yourself to your local church body, and God bless you on this Lord's Day. Well, as we heard today, Stephen was one of those deacons appointed in the early church. And next week here on the program, Dr. Sproul will share with us the incredible story of Stephen's trial before the Jewish High Council, a trial that ended in Stephen's martyrdom. Join us next Sunday right here on Renewing Your Mind.